This is We Are What We Overcome. What you're about to hear are the ramblings and reflections of three ordinary people, drawing on their own personal and occasionally professional experiences. These conversations are unprepared, subjective, and should not be taken as medical advice or instruction. Anyone seeking help should always carry out their own research, or better yet, speak to a professional about their circumstances.
Am I close enough to the microphone? I feel like I can hear myself speaking. Oh, I don't like that at all. Isn't the thing that if you can hear yourself speaking like half a second out of sync, then it stops you from being able to think? That's very disturbing.
That rhymed as well.
Does it? Oh, well, true. When I can hear myself talking, I can also rhyme perfectly.
You do realise generally you are supposed to hear yourself talking unless you have an issue.
I choose not to listen to myself talk. I find that's better for me and probably better for everybody.
Better for your friend.
Yeah, I think.
Like sometimes when you speak to him, he's kind of... just like that.
It's sometimes there
usually has earplugs in.
It's often slurring.
Can turn it down a bit.
I can move it further away.
No, towards you.
You want it to, you want it to be closer.
Close to you. Yeah. Me turn down the volume.
Back off. Okay.
That's all.
Is that nice? Is that better?
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't know. I don't do the technical
bits.
That's
the thing. Pull the microphone close to yourself and talk even quieter. That works.
Okay. All right.
We Are What We Overcome on this occasion features musician Matt McGuinness, improviser Nick Tyler, and psychotherapist Wes Evans. Sit back, enjoy, and remember, it's good to talk.
This is the third podcast that we've done. Last time we were in good old Burnley. And so the idea is that we talk about mental health, particularly men's mental health, and we talk about subjects, particularly around mental health, that people don't necessarily discuss, because it's that whole thing that if you don't talk about it, it gets worse, or it becomes more powerful or more demeaning, or whatever you call it. So we thought we'd talk about everything. And unfortunately, and you have to, it was my idea for the subject tonight, specifically to talk about suicide. And I think that's a good subject to talk about at a Fringe Festival. And I think the more you talk about suicide and say that word, the less it becomes something you shouldn't talk about. So that's the subject for tonight, suicide. And as I learned, and I've learned recently, and you think at the age of 52, I've been involved in music before, I would have known this before now, we should actually introduce who we are first. And aren't you impressed?
I'm super impressed.
Good. So maybe you should go first.
Sure. Hello. My name is Nick. I'm an improviser from Nottingham, and I'm on this podcast now. I don't know what information you want from me, Matt, beyond that.
I don't want anything.
Is that enough?
Yeah, everybody else.
Is that enough? I guess I'm here because Matt's sort of dragged me into it, which is the way that everyone gets involved with activities. They're all dragged into it by Matt or someone like Matt, which is a good thing because I think we do need to talk about mental health. It's really easy not to. It's much easier to hide. I'm a big fan of hiding away from things, and I'm trying not to hide from things.
Hi, I'm Wes from Burnley. So that's where we recorded the last one. As Matt said, this podcast is about mental health and wanting to talk more about things so they no longer are taboo. And obviously, due to what I do, I think it's good to talk. I am a psychotherapist. So I responded to a post out on social media looking for a psychotherapist to get involved with the project, and I've been involved ever since. Happy to be here, nice to see you all, nice to have an audience.
And so I'm Matt, and I'm a musician and a few other things, but let's not get into that for now. Anyway, so there we go. I sort of started it off because of this show I was doing with the band, but this, because of these two fantastic gents, the thing's become much more than that and something a bit different, and we shall find out.
So just for the benefit of these guys who have never heard of what we're doing, we did the first one, which was a bit introductory, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of, so this is the podcast, this is what we've set up to try and do, this is how it started. And then the second one, we started to do kind of topic-based. So the last one was kind of centred around anxiety. And then tonight, this one's about suicide, as we said. But the whole point of starting this, like you just kind of alluded to slightly there, was following you doing a show at the Edinburgh Fringe, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I did I was sort of going downhill somewhat and decided one day, sat in the book cafe in Derby, that the best thing to do would be to apply to Edinburgh Fringe and do a show about mental health and go to a city I'd never really been before and do something I'd never really done before, because it's always been music, and that somehow would fix my mental health, which to me sort of goes along the same line that blokes have, that, you know, maybe we shouldn't talk about it, maybe we should, not mention it to anyone, certainly not see a professional, And I think you came up with the phrase when we were talking about it. It's easier not to talk about it and then just go and top yourself, because that's how it works.
Definitely.
So that's what we've been doing, talking about.
So following your show at Edinburgh, you started the podcast, and we want to do just the opposite, which is talk about all of this stuff. Sometimes in front of an audience, sometimes not, collecting episodes as we go.
Do you know, I think the thing I've found, and I found when I've been in the shows recently, is that, and I've been trying to get my head around, I think you said it to me, is when you actually talk about it, people feel that it's all right to, as a topic, to bring it up.
Yeah, I think you can lead by example, can't you? And if you hear other people talking about stuff, just like at school, about smoking and girls and other things, you realize these things are okay to talk about. You don't need to be terrified of them and hidden away. And we can extend the same thing to any other topic. Mental health is fine. And suicide, in this case, is something that people naturally jump away from. It's something that people don't want to necessarily hear about.
Well, let's face it, when we talk about mental health, as far as the taboo parts go, that's right there up at the top, isn't it? Right in the centre.
Yeah,
we've got a dangerous word that perhaps people don't really know how to approach and feel a bit uneasy mentioning.
I'm feeling that the three of us are a bit uneasy talking about this. You know, normally the last two have been dead. I can feel some tension because we're mentioning suicide. So I'm going to kick it off. I once wanted to kill myself, and I was in, I can't remember the place was, and it was a shit place. I'm not supposed to swear, are we? It was in a not very good place. We can cut that out later. And I was working away from home, and it started to rain heavily, and that was the only thing that was there. And unfortunately, I was able to phone the person that I always phone when I'm, you know, with that second thought, isn't it? You know, if you want to go for a coffee or whatever. And I phoned her, and then I obviously didn't kill myself, unless I'm an imposter and somebody else is in here. And I didn't. And you know, I've never really thought about it since, except writing the script, except when a lady asked a question after one of the shows, and she said, "Do you ever worry that you'll think about it again?" And I didn't, up to the point that she'd asked me if I ever worried I'd think about it again. Do you know what? I just think we need to get it out there. And it's that other thing we talked about, isn't it? When I did a radio interview, and he's not in here at the moment. So when he comes in, he's not in here at the moment, is he? So when he comes in, we all know who it is. And so there was a guy from a local radio station, not a million miles from here. And we did an interview, and I was talking about mental health and suicide. And they basically said, you do it on the Sunday morning program. You know that program that's a sort of religious program, but not really religious. It's the breakfast thing that's, you know, talks about, I don't know, stuff that doesn't work, like all those herbal remedy nonsense and all that sort of thing.
it's like a homeopathic radio show.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Not to offend any herbalists in the room.
But it's not medicine, just to be clear.
No, it's not. Vaccinations are good for you. Let's just move on.
Also
to children as well, actually. But anyway, he said, I said, "Oh, we're going to be on your show, the arts program." And he said, "No, you'll be on the show on the Sunday morning." And I said, "Oh, I thought it'd be on the arts program." And he said, "No, we don't talk about mental health, depression, and suicide on an arts program," which is really crap, actually, because that word's all right, I think, isn't it? Because most of the people I like who play music, that's where the stuff comes from. Some of the best music comes from the darker side. And if music doesn't come from emotion, and part of emotion is all the dark stuff, it's no point listening to it, is it? So I don't know why I've got into that.
You know, you talked about, even we're skirting the topic a little bit. This is the most animated I've seen you.
Is it?
Maybe you're like switched on in front of the audience or something, but I'm seeing like
tattoo coffees.
Oh, right, okay. Scratch that. No passion, just caffeine.
I just felt that it was, we were feeling a bit nervous about talking about suicide.
Yeah, we are. I am. Okay. I don't know. I'm going to declare
it's a psychotherapist in me getting you to own your
feelings. You sent me a message and said, when I said it's suicide, and you said, isn't it something we're in favour of?
Is it a pro or a con?
Is that you making jokes about an uncomfortable topic?
I certainly find the more nervous I am, the more flippant I get, which has not always been productive. Personally, inevitably. It's a difficult topic. For me, a very close friend of my family had a really good attempt at suicide at the end of last year. Not so good an attempt that they were successful, but, you know, did pretty well, spent a week in intensive care and is still recovering. And you know, I've got a few friends who have taken their own life, or however we want to talk about it, which we'll talk about in a bit anyway. So, yeah, it does feel present. And I suspect many of us know someone or have known someone who's taken their own life. It's much more common than I guess we would like to think about generally. So yeah, it feels pretty close. I say I had fairly bad sort of anxiety and depressive episodes, and thinking about killing myself has never felt like that much of a leap. You know, it's like, yeah, that seems like a reasonable next step. It's a way out of a situation, a way for it all to stop, just to stop everything. There'll be no change. It'll just be fine. It's a nice, easy way to do it. Of course, it's quite difficult to achieve, which is one of the odd things about suicide. So yeah, it feels very close. The idea of killing myself is never very far away. Even on a pretty good day, yeah, I find it's an easy thing to jump towards. I don't know if I've ever been, you know, that close to actually doing it, but I certainly self-harmed when I was younger, and it wasn't a lot further down the road, if you see what I mean. You know, I could easily see how I could have reached that point.
So you seem to be talking about kind of suggesting that the thoughts were there, but you didn't quite have the intent or something, is that? Or like some kind of scale, and you were kind of edging towards
it. Yeah, I feel like there's a scale.
Yeah. You know. People talk about suicidal ideation, which is kind of thoughts and that kind of thing. And then, well, intent, actually, wishing to end your own life. So it is an important distinction.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like the thinking about it is almost a control mechanism. You know, like, this is all really awful, but, you know, I could just stop it all. And that gives you a sense of control that, you know, if at worst you could just end everything, the whole situation, you can just stop, and then that will be over. And it's a weird kind of control, because it's controlled by, in theory, giving up control over everything else forever. But sometimes, you know, it's just enough. So I don't know how far that is from intent, but it seemed to me to have a utility as a, I was going to say as a promise, but that seems a weird thing to say. A useful option to have available, I guess. Like, I don't know how weird that sounds, but
like a tool to have just in case you need it.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of a get-out-of-free
card.
Like
a trump card.
Get out of life free card.
Yeah,
and yeah, we should all get one of those. I guess we all do get one of those. We just don't get to choose when to play it. But the idea of having control over when to play it, it's kind of appealing. You know, that's more control than I've had at some times in my life. So yes, I'm a little nervous about what we're talking about.
We did say that going forward we'd be checking in, and so that's kind of what we're doing now, isn't it?
We're
kind of doing that, aren't we? Talking about, yeah. You talked about past experiences, and you're talking about where you're at with things.
Yeah, and I think it's useful because, yeah, we're trying to set an example. Sounds ridiculously like highfalutin, but, you know, we set an example by trying to talk honestly about our own feelings that hopefully will, if not inspire, but help other people realise that it's also okay for them to talk about their feelings.
Yeah, this is just three blokes having a frank conversation, personal elements come into it, and, well, that just echoes what we think should be the case as far as mental health goes.
Yeah, man.
My own perspective or kind of experience with the topic, I mean, my family's been affected by suicide. I lost a friend who took his own life, but also, obviously, in the job that I do, working as a therapist and come into contact with suicide, well, a lot more than regular folk might. So I suppose I've experienced it both personally and professionally. Well, that's all I can really say about it. That's my kind of personal check-in about it. That being said, there was something a little bit kind of, ooh, we're going to be speaking about this in this podcast in front of people. It feels different from how, from dealing with a client who is feeling that way or something like that. Given that we normally kind of inject a little bit of humour into what we do, and for some reason it feels just a little bit kind of more to even. It's like we've got to get something right. Although then the other half of me logically knows that, well, there isn't a right or a wrong actually.
What we're saying.
Kind of a bit of an argument with myself about this.
I keep, my memory's terrible, so I don't know whether you two told me this story or whether it was a Conservative councillor.
Which is, oh yeah, I always get.
I generally can't
two remember people stuff mistakes.
As well, but I don't know, because I remember the story not he told me, but in fact I'm pretty sure it was a Conservative guy, and it was somewhere Anyway, the short version is, this is the light-hearted thing, so how seamlessly I went into it.
No, it was really smooth.
Yeah, thank you. And so he said that they tried to, there was a place where people used to jump into the, it might have been the docks in Liverpool, and kill themselves. Mm-hmm. And so he put forward an idea that he wanted to, and he said lots of people died. They had an issue with people doing it, and that quite a few people died because they couldn't get out again. They changed their mind, sort of thing, you know. And so he put forward that he wanted to put some way out, you know, like steps. And they stopped him at the council meeting because they said it would encourage people to commit suicide. How does that work? If they knew there was a way out, it would encourage more people to do it. And that's just really weird.
Well, that's... So really what you're getting onto is... So before each episode, like the night before, basically, we decide a topic and kind of think, oh, well, here's some of the things we could touch upon. And on the list was kind of... myths or misconceptions or unhelpful views about suicide. So we know what we're talking about. We've kind of said where we're all at about the topic in general, our relationship with it, and maybe how we're feeling about discussing it now. Maybe that leads us into talking about some unhelpful views of suicide. And guys in the audience, if you've ever heard something that, oh, well, you know, I remember somebody said this about this, so, you know, feel free to pipe up. We do welcome interaction. Yeah. We're limited for time and everything else, if there's something you want to say, please feel free to pipe up. But should we talk about that? Some misconceptions?
Yeah, well, you know, the one I was keep,
because you just said one there, you know, oh, well, that would encourage people to commit suicide.
Well, that's just nonsense. You know.
Well, yeah.
But the one, you know, the one that keeps coming up, and I've been trying to work my head through it, is that one about the change of language, you know, and we had it.
We had this kind of in the first recording, didn't we? About what's the correct terminology that you should use? Yeah.
So it's not taking your own life, is it?
It's not committed suicide because commit makes it sound, well, it's about it being an illegal act and it's kind of shaming and that kind of thing.
But it also has a connotation of an act. There is a sort of sense of committing of it that you are doing a taboo and shameful act. You know, we have tons of religious and cultural pressure on us that suicide is an appalling thing. You know, it used to be a thing that would keep you out of heaven. It would get you in court should you survive your attempt, and mind other things, you know, which is perverse and weird. And that sense lingers that it's not just difficult to talk about, but it's a bad thing to do, which it may be. And I'm not totally con.
It may be what?
It may be a bad thing to do, but I'm not 100% sure that it's always the wrong choice.
Well, I suppose you're talking about being morally wrong or sinful or something, or shameful, is that?
Yeah, yeah.
For me, it's the last thing I would want anybody to do. Mm. It's not an option I would want someone to take. I'm not going to get all pissy about the language we use about it, though. Although I can see where it's coming from. But for me, we could spend time arguing over the language we use, and actually I would rather someone speak up about it and use the wrong language. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I mean?
Oh, for sure. But the words carry extra meaning.
Of course,
so you get a sort of
there is this kind of backdrop to the subject of suicide, isn't there? That it's kind of, I mean, we've experienced it tonight. Oh, okay, so this is a bit of a meaty topic, you know. There is something that sits behind the topic, isn't there?
Oh, there is.
About getting this right and it being sensitive and. Well, some of the myths, like if we talk about it, we're encouraging it. That's another myth, isn't it?
Yeah, there's quite a lot of media guidelines about how you should discuss suicide or portray suicide in the media, in TV and film, that you shouldn't show methods and means of doing it because that will give people ideas and encourage them to do it. And it should always be shown, you know, with a kind of vibe that, oh, but, you know, maybe if they'd talked on, then there would have been another way out of it.
Well, the glamorising. Which makes
sense. Well, like, don't try this at home banner at the bottom of something.
Kinda, yeah. I mean, almost that. Maybe not quite so hideous, but you can imagine that.
You're talking about the media angle, but I'm supposing as well, like, just in kind of, maybe people have this idea that if I shouldn't ask about that. Maybe I'm putting an idea in somebody's head, you know, or like planting a seed that wasn't there, you know. Almost by talking about it that I'm somehow encouraging it or presenting it as an option.
It, it feels almost like it's considered to be infectious. Mm. You know, if you discuss it, then other people go, oh yeah, well, I could do that too. And there have been, I believe, odd, weird outbreaks of sort of hysteria that have followed, well, what used to be called hysteria, that follow these kinds of things. But I'm not entirely sold. Because anyone can find anything out these days.
Yeah, that language, I think you're spot on with that. I mean, I'm just a little bit bored of sort of that correctness around stuff like that, when actually the heart of the matter is the person. There's a lady that came to one of the shows, and she came up and talked afterwards, and she said her husband had killed himself, and she tried to talk to him weeks and months beforehand, and he just wouldn't talk about it, and then, you know, said that obviously there's nothing wrong, and then did what he did, and so that's the thing to me. That's the important thing. The rest of it's meaningless garbage, I think. And I know I haven't got a great reputation for being
subtle.
But I think this is one place where it's called for.
Hmm. I certainly wouldn't sit across from a client and say, well, actually, that's not the terminology you're supposed to use.
I think you mean, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Mm. Actually, it's just, yes, you know, keep talking. However, I can understand where the guidance comes from. But so you were talking about kind of rules and regulations about how it should be discussed in media. Mm-hmm. And then we were talking about this general misconception that, ooh, should we talk about this? Is it something we're allowed to mention? Am I going to encourage it? What's the right thing to do about this topic? That kind of thing. And actually, all of the official guidance that is out there, basically, they're all coming at it from different angles. But in a roundabout way, it's just kind of saying, no, talk about it, basically. All professionals, for example, I mean, I work as a therapist, but prior to training as a therapist, I've worked in education and in social care and things like that. Any kind of bits of training you do in those kind of remits, it's basically the message is that if you have the suspicion or if you're concerned, you can be direct and ask about it. But, I mean, that's quite a bold thing, isn't it? Like, how many people in this room would feel comfortable just outright saying to someone, what, are you thinking about suicide? Like, would people be comfortable doing that? I mean, you don't have to answer, but something to muse.
Mm.
How would you guys feel?
I would.
Yeah.
Well, I just...
And has that always been the case?
No. I mean, I used to think mental health was pretty much garbage. I genuinely, which is a terrible thing to say, but it's true, and let's have some honesty, I used to just think it was overplayed. Yeah. It was sadness. It was a bit of sad, you know, very sad maybe, but that was it. I used to think that people who went to see a therapist just didn't have enough friends. I mean, I genuinely used to think that until...
So they're just paying for company kind of a thing.
Well, it was just like...
Thank you for likening my profession to an escort or a prostitute of some kind.
But you're making the money, right?
Leave your money on the bedside table as you exit the room.
But, I still think that view's out there a lot. So I think I would rather offend people by saying stuff than not bring the subject up.
It's interesting you mentioned the friends thing, though, because companionship's it's a very important aspect of mental health, you know, that having someone to talk to, you know, so even though, you know, a therapist is not necessarily a friend in that sense, that having someone to reach out to is so important, because suicide is ultimately a choice.
Let's prevent an isolation, I suppose, sounds like what you're getting at.
Kind of.
Human connection.
I get hung up on the idea of choice, and you know, your choices vary depending upon how many options you're given, how many choices you feel that you have. And I would guess that a lot of people who find themselves in a situation of contemplating or actually committing suicide are at a point where they've run out of options. And having a community around you and having friends and companions gives you extra options. Because you're right, being super isolated, it means that you don't have anyone to reach out to. And it shrinks your options down. The fewer people that you see or that you talk to, the fewer alternative paths there are, the fewer possibilities of a future where this is not your only choice. There are. And yeah, I think it's, say for me, you know, that when they ask you in counselling or when you see your doctor, you know, if you're not thinking about actually doing something, your intent isn't there, they always ask you, well, why not? You know, what is it that keeps you from doing something? And a lot of those answers are, you know, well, because I've got a partner, I've got friends who I think would be sad, or I don't know what my sister would do, or something like that. And for me, it's always like, well, there's a couple of adorable cats at home, and my other half. You know, there's still a future which has different possibilities from the place that I feel right now. and I can still just about grasp the idea that there's a different path that doesn't have to end here. You know, this would end all of those possibilities.
I never thought of any of that. I mean, I just generally, none of it mattered. You know, the kids or anything didn't matter. It was just nothing. I always thought it'd be like that. And it sounds really crass and horrible, doesn't it? You know, having three kids and excluding them as though they would guide anything in your life. But I didn't. None of that mattered to me. It was just, I don't know. It was just nothing.
Makes me think about discussions I've had with other professionals and things, and looking at the guidance and stuff like. So I suppose if you were willing to talk about suicide, you might be tempted to say, well, you know, think of the people that you would leave behind, or what about such a body, how would they feel? And actually, I suppose that has the potential to be really shaming, doesn't it? You know, kind of, well, what about them, you know? And what, you can't make that choice. If you do that, you're just going to make them feel really bad, all that kind of stuff.
But I don't think that would have worked. I mean,
it probably has for
centuries. You weren't thinking about anything else at all, were you? And actually, I suppose the truth is people sometimes aren't thinking about anything else at all. Or maybe they are, and in the opposite kind of way, they just think that things will be better, actually, if they're not there. Of course, that's not true. But
no, I've certainly heard that from, a member of the family who attempted. Their view was that, yes, the world will be smoother and easier without me. Everyone else will be able to get on with doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, why that's conflicting is because there's a kind of truth in that. Yes, all the conflicts that are around you and that you're currently minding will just be over. And that's true. Yeah, that will smooth out a whole bunch of things. But that's not as important as you being there. Yeah, the shaming aspect, I think, is interesting. You're like saying, well, what would all these other people feel, you know, if you weren't there? That kind of weirdly externalizes it and makes it about other people, when actually it's about the person who's in that place. And, you know, making it about external factors isn't necessarily going to be effective. I'm trying to find out what it is that's in my head about that. But there's something, I think it still comes back to personal choice. And if you're throwing it out and making it about other people's choices, you're still kind of denying that individual's right to make that choice. And I'm not saying it's a good choice, or the choice that we would want them to make, but it's still theirs. You know, it's still, if you're in that situation, that's still your choice. And having it made to be about other people feels somehow demeaning in a way that makes me weirdly angry right in here. I'm not quite sure why.
There's a guy in Lincoln, and he came with his one of his best mates. And he didn't do this sort of conversation. He would do the bit afterwards in the bar where he, you know, it was like one-on-one or three of us. And he said the only reason he was getting through it at the moment was that he couldn't actually see any way through it, except for the fact that his mate had sort of been through it, and he could see from him that he got through it, and maybe there's an option for him where he might do. Mm. That's all he had, you know. But that's good, you know. We are really good friends, but I rile against some of the stuff because, you know, people are the most important. Most people, some aren't, but most of the most important. And I would, you know, that's really important. Your race, you know, and that's, you know.
Well, that's very sweet. Thank you. I'm stuck in a brain loop thinking about this.
I hear you talking about kind of the right for someone to be able to choose. Mm. And I suppose that's another area of all of this. Last night when we were doing our 5 minutes of preparation, that too was on the list, wasn't it? Mm. So kind of relevant things in the media, so stuff about assisted suicide and the law about that, and some recent cases about individuals wishing to go off and do their thing and not wanting people to be charged for helping them and that kind of thing. So that's one aspect.
Mm.
The other thing that was in the media was recent examples of young people taking their lives, and then Instagram getting in a bit of trouble about having certain posts on display and all that kind of stuff. So those relate to two things we've kind of touched upon. And then in and amongst that, we're still kind of talking about some myths as well. Mm. So there's so much to this topic. I mean,
some more myths. That's good.
Well, all right, let me go through the list of the myths, and then maybe we can move on to some of the things that have been flagged up. So let's see what people think about some of this. People who talk about suicide aren't serious and won't go through with it. So I suppose that's either talking about either not taking it seriously or kind of saying that maybe it's attention seeking and that kind of stuff.
Well, it is partly.
It may be that, I mean, the classic term that gets a lot of kind of stick as well, a lot of people don't like and feel is derogatory, is being referred to as a cry for help.
Yeah, I've heard that. I really dislike that. It doesn't meet my experiences of people that have been in that situation. Yeah, it's not really a cry for help. It's a cry that I haven't had any help. This is it. Rather than as a way to get attention, because it's a really bad way to get attention, because you're not going to be aware of it if you succeed. So it's kind of like an automatic fail on that. Yeah, if you attempt suicide well enough, you're not going to get any attention from it personally. So it's not going to be successful. That speaks to me again of that internal external perception. That as a phrase and as a thought is much more about how other people perceive people who have attempted to take their own life or who may wish to take their own life than it is about those individuals who are in that situation. It's still the judging and shaming. It's like, oh, you're only doing it to seek attention. All right. Well, even if they were, maybe give them some now.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's the bottom line, isn't it? It just needs to be taken seriously, doesn't it? And looked at. Let's keep going. If a person is serious about killing themselves, there's nothing you can do.
Well, that's garbage, isn't it? I mean, I have to say, for me, it was an hour, maybe an hour and a half. Mm. And all the rest of my life, aside of that hour and a half, I didn't want to.
Well, going back to the serious kind of thing, perhaps people are in different places at different times. Perhaps they are really serious about it at that very moment, and then perhaps the next day it feels different.
I think it's about choices again. It's about having those choices open up. The more time you have, the more choices are available. This is part of the reason why razors are wrapped in those irritating plastic safety razor things. They're much harder to get out than you would think, and it even little things like it slows everything down and makes it that bit harder to achieve. It's why you can't, buy, 1,000 paracetamol or whatever at a time, because it all places barriers and roadblocks in the way of you doing it. Again, I got some issues with that for the personal choice issues. But, the more roadblocks you place in the way, including having other friends and family around, having people available who you can contact at any time, all of these slow your process down to where you have the possibility of, like, an hour later, like, whoo, glad I didn't do that an hour ago. Maybe there is a better way. It's I think it's always about extending that time between wanting to do something and actually doing it. And the more time and possibilities you've got, the better.
Theresa May works like that, doesn't she? She's a good way of slowing it down as well.
I don't even know what that analogy means in this context.
Well, in terms of our country committing suicide. Okay, let me dash through a few more of these. I'll just read a bunch out.
All right.
React to what you
don't rage at both of them immediately.
You have to be mentally ill to think about suicide. People who are suicidal want to die. Talking about suicide is a bad idea, as it may give someone the idea to try it. Most suicides happen in the winter months. People say they're going to take their own life are just attention-seeking, so we kind of touched upon that already. What do you think about some of those?
Those are tricky.
Second one, when I said people who are suicidal want to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the reason that's kind of being outlined as a bit of a myth is because...
Is that like Brexit means Brexit?
Yeah. The majority of people who feel suicidal may not actually want to die. They just may not want to live the life they have.
Well, they're out of choices. There are no options opening up. It's, there's been an horrific rise in LGBT teens suicides internationally. It's horrific. It's because it's the internal exile again. These people who are getting the absolute crap kicked out of them on a daily basis, physically, emotionally, culturally even, People feel like they just run out of choices and run out of options. What do you do when you run out of options? You remove the possibility of further harm. It's not illogical. It's horribly sad, and there should be other choices and options.
I mean, that's one list, and those are some of the responses to it from that list, and those are our reactions to it. But I guess, I've said this in previous episodes about different topics, but I guess it's all very individual, isn't it?
Mm.
I suppose from my perspective, I think if I'm sat across from a person and I hear something that kind of rings alarm bells, or something that just makes me feel, and makes me want to inquire further about it, I would say quite often people are kind of really relieved if I bring it up and ask the question.
Hmm.
Almost like, oh, this is okay to talk about. I can talk about this with someone.
Give them a chance.
Some kind of release to get it out. Actually, maybe they are looking for alternatives to what they are thinking about right now.
Mm.
Again, not one rule for everybody and all that, but I would say that many, many people I've spoken to have appreciated being able to have the conversation with somebody.
I can't see how openness and conversation and having a genuine talk with another human being is not a good thing. How can it not
I thought you were going to say the opposite.
Yeah, this is a terrible idea. We should turn these off.
Talking about this, being genuine and open, could ever prevent anything harmful from happening.
It does seem ridiculous, but that's a common idea, though, isn't it? That you can put the idea of anything in someone else by talking about it, you legitimise it and make it available as an option. It's already available. I can't imagine there's anyone who hasn't gone, oh, take my own life, end life. This is baffling. What a notion. Everyone knows they're going to die at some point. Surely it's must be obvious that you could choose to end that if you wanted to. It seems weird that you could even put that idea in someone's head that it wouldn't already be there. Or maybe that's only a symptom of how my brain works.
There's a great bloke on, and I can't, I, you know, I never, he was a great bloke. I don't know what his name is. I could make it up.
Is that this your Tory council?
I don't remember.
No, he wasn't. Well, I don't know. He might have been, but he didn't say anything. But he had a group of friends, and he was building up to thinking who he could talk to. And he thought, I go out with these guys pretty much every week. I'm just going to go for it. And there was like six or seven of them. And he said that, he had been having these thoughts. And three of his mates jumped up and said, they were had a similar time, either recently or in the past. And he said, and his life's improved massively now, because now he's got six or seven of his mates and they talk about it. And, how anyone would think, how the idea of keeping something to yourself is a good thing is just ridiculous.
And yet we still lock stuff away inside.
Absolutely. But, that's the encouragement. People, it's that whole thing about being English, isn't it? Well, I'm not too sure how much of that exists anymore, that don't speak about it and don't have emotions and
keep calm and carry on. Yeah.
And I think...
Sorry, go on, go ahead.
I'm
you finished?
Yeah.
Were you just mumbling at the end?
There's something about either having conversations or being able to allow a bit of time that the person's feelings may change about the subject. And I suppose that's something else, isn't it? We all have our own feelings about things. We all have different feelings. We all have our unique experiences. But it is a fact that feelings are fluid and feelings are temporary. Nothing is fixed. And so that seems pretty important in this. Giving a person time or giving a person a chance to think about where they're actually at, perspective. And like I say, in my experience, a lot of people have been grateful for the chance to reconsider this position or to speak it through with someone. But then that's just the problem, isn't it? Is the subject isn't something we feel we're able to speak about generally in society.
Hopefully we're taking some steps.
Definitely. Should we talk a bit more about what kind of rattled your cage? Well, what about a person's choice?
I guess so.
Think about kind of assisted suicide and, perhaps the typical, in inverted commas, kind of case of perhaps someone who's got a condition, a degenerative condition, that kind of thing. Is that the kind of thing you were thinking about?
Yeah, in part. I guess I'm interested in why we would consider... Well, it's a horrible legal mess, assisted suicide, whether people should be prosecuted for it or not. I'm thoroughly in favour of, if someone chooses that they feel their life has reached a point where it cannot continue, that they should be permitted to proceed without prosecution. The problem is always what you judge as being sufficient.
And
that's the horror of it. And
because I have mixed feelings about it as well.
Yeah, and the only ones that you really get in the press are... degenerative conditions, chronic pain that cannot be improved. And it seems weird to me that mental health doesn't seem to get included in that.
Yeah, so on the flip side, we kind of maybe would say, well, perhaps it's a person's right to choose if they've not got much time left and their life is suffering and all of this kind of stuff. But on the flip side, we've just spent the last half an hour talking about all the reasons why we should do all we can to prevent someone thinking that that's their only option.
Yeah, and I wonder if there's still something of that feeling that mental health is different from physical health, which we've talked about before. And although mental health is...
And we've made arguments to say that they're connected and should be treated very much the same.
Indeed. And while I agree that feelings do change, I've always felt there's a nice argument for discontinuity of the mind and of the person. That yeah, there isn't any real progression. You're not quite the same person that you were yesterday or a year before or 10 years before. And so the you making the decision in the moment is legitimate, and that is how you feel right at that moment. And is that any less valid than you feeling a bit brighter or different the next day?
I would agree with that.
And if so, should we not be empowered to make decisions that potentially end our lives or other things when we're feeling in those states? You know, why would that not be okay?
Maybe we're saying that someone needs to take some time or something then. I would imagine.
Cooling off period.
It's really hard to imagine, actually, but I would imagine that somebody in the position approaching end of life and with some kind of condition or disease or whatever has had a lot of time to think about it, actually. And actually their position is less fluid given that this condition isn't going to go away and that kind of thing. But it is really tricky. I do have mixed feelings about this.
I don't really have mixed feelings. You know, I'm fortunate to have some really good friends and some friends who I get on with who aren't, you know, so close maybe. But I have lots of people around me, and I would fight to the last for each one of those to spend, for me to go first, and for them to still be on this planet, because I'm very fortunate to have them. And so I would do absolutely everything.
Well, that is just selfish, isn't it?
It is selfish, but it's honest, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think that's a lovely sentiment. You have a lovely heart. But don't get between me and my train. Oh, whatever I choose.
I don't think you can arrange to do it by train.
You can. It's easy. There's a timetable. It's incredibly straightforward.
Southern Rail. You have to go down south.
Didn't take long for it. About 40 minutes to start making jokes. Oh,
that's not too.
Maybe we've all warmed up.
Maybe. Yeah. Stop being concerned. I am interested in the personal choice angle of assisted suicide and euthanasia and these things. I think it's interesting that we don't regard mental health issues as carrying the same justification that we do for physical ailments, as if like, oh, your body's clearly wrecked, sure, you can choose to check out.
But that's the issue.
But we don't say your mind's wrecked, you can choose to check out.
It's the extent, isn't it? You know, so you talk about mental health or physical health. You know, if someone said, I've got a broken leg, you wouldn't go, okay, let's go to the clinic in wherever it is.
You might have it was a horse.
Well, yeah.
Sometimes they put horses down, don't they?
But the
different subject altogether.
It's not good.
You're a big Grand National fan, Wes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the extent, isn't it? You know, and I still don't understand where that is, you know, and at what point is it, you know, a permanent state that you feel like that?
Well, it's. I think it's the internal external problem again. You know, this is. Yeah, we're still trying to say that. Well, for you, this is. You are 90% of the way to a point where you can say you want to check out of life. It's still an external judgment. It's still not necessarily respecting that individual's personal assessment. Yeah, you're still going. Yeah, you want to go, but I still want you around.
Well, so again, just dipping back to, I do have mixed feelings about it, but I wouldn't be sitting across from a client trying to convince them that they should live. I would be more, let's sit in that place and let you figure it out, speak it out loud, and really understand how you feel about it. Typically speaking, it means that their position changes. They gain more insight, they find things, reasons to be around, all that kind of stuff. However, I wouldn't say I'm trying to convince someone. Well, that's just me again, you know, of course. The thing I have mixed feelings about is if I'm sat across from a person who is feeling that way, I really hope that they don't do that. And it saddens me that they feel that they want to do that or that that's all they have left, that kind of thing. However, with a person talking about assisted suicide, I'm kind of like, And yeah, I wonder if... Should they just be allowed to do that if that's what they want to do, given the circumstances?
It's weird,
so
isn't it?
There is some kind of distinction there, isn't there?
There is. Well,
both of those clients were sat across from me, my position wouldn't change. I would want to be beside them and help them understand and all that kind of stuff. But so maybe I'd just have a different feeling about it.
Yeah, I was thinking about my family member who attempted suicide last year. I think the thing that really shocked me was not so much that they went through that and spent time in intensive care and stuff, which is just fairly horrific to go and visit and see someone on a ventilator and stuff. None of that's cool.
Well, it's different with a family member and a friend as well, isn't it?
I guess so, yeah.
Talking
yeah.
professional experiences.
Indeed. Yeah, totally it folks and twists it. Yeah, but what shocked me was much later when they told me that they were very disappointed that they'd failed. This was not a cry for help. This was a sincere effort. And now, having not been successful, they're like, well, that's kind of screwed everything up. I just want to go back and do it again properly. And it's like, oh, I don't even know how to intervene at this point. I don't think I say right to intervene, but what all I did was allow them space to talk.
You know, I'm asking how they feel now.
A bit better. Still not super psyched about the whole still being alive. Wow. Still not thrilled by the prospect, but I think coming to terms with it, I hope so. Yeah. But you know, that was the bit that I think hit me more than them attempting suicide, which, you know, I kind of sanguine about. So, you know, oh, you want to do that? Okie dokie. I wish you wouldn't, but, you know, if that's what you want to do, sincerely want to do, then I'll not quite support it. Support's the wrong word, but I accept your decision, I guess. I think it was here. And when it failed, then my kind of assumption was, so now everyone will get better. I don't know why I thought that. There's no real reason for that. But to know that it hadn't gotten better, that was more surprising. I don't really know what's surprising, because it shouldn't be. That should actually be obvious, that having not managed it once, you'd maybe want to keep going. Tricky. And I think this is why choice is bundled up in my head. You know, you get to choose that. You should get to choose these things. And when it goes wrong, that's actually worse when it goes wrong.
Sounds like a really difficult situation to be
in. Yeah, we're digging it. It's all... reminds me, actually, I was looking at... There's a great website that shows methods of suicide compared to the relative pain involved, which is a fascinating website just to look at. And everything is really bad. There are no good ways out, which I thought was really interesting. It's intended as kind of... again, not quite support for those who are thinking maybe taking their own lives, but a kind of something that some information they can look at and go, if you're going to check out, maybe think about how you do it in the least painful way. And it's quite a deterrent, I think, to look at. And they sort of grade things on pain scales that are just horrific. You know, everything is bad. There's no good and quick way out.
I don't know how I feel about that.
No, I wasn't sure. It's interesting to look at.
It makes me think of what we just mentioned with, you know, young people online and all that kind of stuff.
Apparently the slowest way is very conservative. That is the...
you just wait for your country to die and everyone dies with it. My understanding is Labour's the same now. And the Lib Dems just back them up. Yeah, it's exciting. It
doesn't make a difference.
Labour just feels like someone else has done it to
you. Oh, that's rough. But it again reminded me that we've got so many things in place to slow down people's decisions. Because the thing that's right at the top for quickness and minimal pain, obviously, is guns, which you can't really get over here. And I guess we've done some
apparently
things
it works
right.
In America, because they've all got them.
It does. And
heaven over there.
Well, yeah, and you're more likely to be killed with your own gun than you are by someone else's. And there's lots of interesting stats that they think. One of the reasons that the death by gun suicide in America is so high is just because you can get them, which makes perfect sense. The fewer roadblocks there are between you feeling bad and reaching for the gun that happens to be on your coffee table, the easier the whole thing gets. Tricky. I've no idea where that was going.
Yeah, well,
space and choices again for people.
I think we've got five minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, we feel like we're approaching the end of time. I go back to wondering if anybody has any comments.
Or indeed questions.
Or questions, or just...
expressions of horror.
Observations, yeah. Or what the hell are you talking about?
I have one.
Hmm.
So, we're talking about media and... representations of suicide in media. And there was a friend of mine who, the other year, the Netflix show, is it 13 Reasons Why?
Yeah.
Which basically is, from what I can tell, I've not seen it, a story about a character in high school who commits suicide and has made cassettes of the reasons why. And all the people who she went to school with find out these are the reasons and stuff like that. There has been some news stories recently that have been pointing out that, and again, whether it's spurious sort of called Nation of Statistics, and it doesn't actually necessarily prove it. People saying, oh, well, since this came out, there's been a spike in suicides. But it's a case of, well, can you fully correlate that? Can you definitely say that?
No, I think you definitely can't.
But at the same time, I also know someone who watched the show and has actively said, I've considered suicide in the past, and I have never considered how it would affect other people. And that was, and it's an example of, yeah, I mean, like, people talking, you can have different positions, different thought processes, but it can be that, depending on where you are, you will have a different reaction to it. Matt, you've said that you have different reactions to some of the stuff that Nick said and stuff like that. Everyone's going to be in a different position, and it might be something that actually prevents someone, it might sort of make someone maybe edge a bit more. But you can't say it's a one-size-fits-all thing. What do you think on that?
That makes sense, because you can't control what information does. As I say, information wants to be free, and you can't affect what information does when it gets into people's heads. It makes, I guess, as much sense that it would dissuade as persuade.
I agree that there isn't a one-size-fits-all. That's what it boils down to, basically. Everything we're talking about all boils down to that. There is no one-size-fits-all.
I'm just a big fan of conversation and talking.
I know, you go on endlessly.
But I think we need to wrap it up. Mm-hmm. The reason why I was looking at my phone, not because I was bored of you two or anything, but there was a song that, if you ever get a chance to check it out, there's a guy called Luke Temple, and he's got a song called Mary Ann Was Quiet, which is all around the subject, but it's a fantastic song. It goes on for a long time.
Yeah, that's a great song.
But it's really good. It's called Mary Ann Was Quiet. I think it's about his grandmother. And it's got a happy ending as well, so I'll give that away.
Right. Well, you've ruined it now, yeah. Everyone thought it was going to be a nice sad thing that he could cry to.
There's crying in it.
Yeah, you'll smile at the end, and that's, I guess that's a nice thing.
But should we wrap up how we all feel towards the end now?
Well, yeah. My response to the question kind of sums up where I'm at about it. It's very individual, and I would just say I would hope that people just aren't afraid to be direct and ask about it. It just needs to be out there. The whole philosophy of this podcast, isn't it? We just need to be talking about stuff. Talking usually, so it usually helps one way or another.
I just come back to that guy that, you know, feelings are temporary, aren't they? You know, and that's a good thing and a bad thing, but it's that perspective that you've got to remember. And I try to remember when I feel in a really bad place, that I try to remember the person that is fortunate and blessed and happy, and he still exists, and that to me is really important.
I think you're right. I think for me it's always about increasing the opportunities for making a different decision and finding new choices and options, combined with the need to respect an individual's rights, and that when someone does something, then they kind of had the right to do that. And I know that's problematic in loads and loads of ways, but that still feels quite important to me.
But life is problematic, isn't it?
Life's hell. Oh, my God. Oh, can we just stop? Not in that way. Just the podcast.
I respect your right to do that. Let's
thank start. You. Thank okay. you, Wes.
And can we just thank everyone for coming tonight? And it's been it's great to... I think it's good to talk. Didn't the BT used to say that years ago, I think?
Yeah, Bob Hoskins.
But thank you very much for coming tonight. And... we'll be around a bit as well. We're going to have a chat.
Yes, yes.
Take care. Cheers.
Thank you, everyone.
Goodbye.
If you've been affected by anything we've talked about tonight, that's cool. We were kind of hoping you would be. If you haven't been affected by anything tonight, then that's great too. You're probably fine. And of course, if you say you're fine, then the chances are you aren't. So you might also have been affected. If you've been affected before, you probably will be again. Please talk to someone. It can get better, and together we can survive. We are what we overcome. Something's right.